This week's Parsha. Actually, I wanted Avi to be here. Avi's right now coming back for Bar Mitzvah. I was hoping he'd be here for it because it's really, I'm trying, he gave me yesterday, a suggestion he gave me in the bus yesterday. I'm going to try to elaborate on it a little bit today. Yesterday we traveled, most people in the Shiro came on a trip to dig, build, navigate, or attempt to navigate, and have lunch.
We did not win.
Anyways, the question I asked the bus on the way to the trip, I didn't realize how long it was. I asked a longer question, but I realized how long the trip was. The question that I asked on the trip was, why is it, it's a famous question, or I should say, is it even, do we hold Paro accountable for his continued misbehavior, his continued refusal to send B'nai Israel free from Mitzrayim? Why would I say we don't? Number one, there's something called Bris Bein Abisarim, where Avraham Avinu was promised by HaKadosh Baruch Hu that his people would be enslaved. Paro is only acting as a shliach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Number two, Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, I will harden Paro's heart. Which, every one of these two you want to take or focus on, would we hold Paro accountable for the continued refusal of B'nai Israel to go? That's the question, and many have answered this question. Many have suggested different answers. Just to name a few, the Rambam in Hilchos Teshuva discussed this topic in detail. He discusses there's a midah like a midah, that the first five he refused on his own, the next five Hashem hardens his heart, midah like a midah, he's punished for that, he lost his free choice. That's the Rambam. The Sforno has a beautiful pshat that says that actually the hardening of the heart was giving him free choice. One of my favorite pshat, it's a beautiful Sforno. Check it out inside. But Amy Franklin yesterday sent me the following pshat. Now, I want to say whether or not there's validity to it or not. It's definitely not Pashup Shot, but it's an interesting argument he made. He says, it says that Paro's heart was hardened, but it said nothing about his head, his Rosh. He says, is it possible that because he still had faculties of thinking, and the ability to use his Rosh, is it possible that he could be punished for not using his Rosh properly, though his heart was kidnapped by HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Is that a possibility you want to know? He suggested that maybe his head was clear, though his heart was not, and because he had a clear head, and he didn't maybe he didn't use it well, he'd be held accountable in the court of law in Shemayim for that. That was a suggestion. Now I want to figure out, is that a possibility? Could we distinguish heart from head? Now we certainly know, legally, you certainly could. I mean, a person could be brain dead and have a heart beating well. You could have a heart attack and your brain function properly while it's happening. Those two are certainly possible. But how about religiously? Could one have a heart and a head and be acting differently and expecting that person to be able to figure it out, to duke it out, and to come with a proper conclusion? That's what AB suggested. Let's take a quick survey whether we think it's possible or not and try to take a lesson from our own lives in that as well. We say every single day, we say in a Aleinu more than one time. AB! Just missed my quote. Ready? Here it is. Could we distinguish, determine between heart and head? Can we say the person's heart is taken and kidnapped, but his head is in the right place, we should therefore expect him to be able to override the heart problem that he had? It's a question AB suggests yesterday. We're going to detail right now for a second if we can. We say everything later. We say, V'yadata hayom v'ashivosa el vavecha. I saw one time in a sefer, a Muslim sefer called Kol Dofek, not the Rav, but a Muslim sefer about Chodesh El and Yom Neroim. It brought down, I said, what does that mean? It means that you can know something with great clarity. That's level number one. But it requires another level, which is v'ashevosa elavecha. You have to then take that you know already, which you have in your mind, and place it on your heart. For example, a silly example. Not silly, but an example. I may know something is bad for me to do. I may know. Smoking is bad to do. I may know that already. But at the same time, it's bad to do. The question is, can I stop doing it? Well, my knowledge is, if I know clearly it's bad. Can I put that on my heart and make myself stop doing it? Well, I'm addicted. It's very hard to do. Maybe it's possible. It's hard to do. That's a question. But I can be adapted. I can know something. And maybe still my heart not act on it. It's a possibility. That's a kasha that we have. Can you know and still do differently? That's the major question of adaptation. So according to the AB suggesting, it's possible that you can know something. And if AB is right, then you have to, even though your heart's not with you, be able to have your mind be able to beat your heart. Actually, I saw in this week's parsha, the Shemi Shmuel, I have a following shot, which I want to apply to discussion as well. Finally, for the first time ever, after our first Maka wording that we have, we need a parsha, the wording of Arbe. So Power says, you know what? I'm game. Let him go. Just tell me one question. Who's going to go? Who do you want to go on this journey of yours to serve? Not leave, but to serve Hashem for those 3 days you want in the Midbar. Who's going to go? So Moshe lists anyone and everyone, including, what's one of the part of the most problem with? That was the next one? The Ketanim, the Taf, the children. The children? No, everyone else go, but the children, why do the children go? Now in theory, I'll tell you, in davening, my first personal experience in davening, when my kids go with me to daven, I usually daven worse. Why? Number one, you know, if they're not davening well, I'm like, no, you know. Or if they go to the bathroom, they go, Abba, I go to the bathroom, no stress, I'm like, no, okay, go to the bathroom, or whatever. Usually my kids with me, I'm not davening so well. At the same time, says Hashem Yishmuel, Moshe Rabbeinu was saying to Paro, I can't go without my kids, you know why? Because imagine me leaving my kids in Mitzrayim. Who's babysitting? Who's babysitting? So men and women are there. So who's babysitting? You, Paro? My taskmaster who wanted to kill me? That one's babysitting me? No way. Meaning that Moshe Rabbeinu is saying to Paro, there's no way I can properly serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with my heart, he says, with my heart. Can't serve with my heart while my taf, my children, are elsewhere. So therefore, I demand that you bring the children with me. I bring them with me so I can serve Hashem properly. But your roach won't be able to focus as much. It's okay. My heart wouldn't be able to focus at all without them here. So my roach will have bigger struggles maybe with them here. But I can't possibly function if my heart's not with it. And therefore, if that was the case, then Amy would be wrong. It wouldn't be an answer to the question. Because once your heart's not there, nothing's possible. And therefore, we suggest that if you take Hashem Yishmuel's shot, that the reason why I need my kids with me is without them I can't focus on what I'm doing over here, and I need my kids so I can have a free heart to be able to do what I want to do, then maybe I wouldn't be able to answer the way he answered. By the way, there's something very shy. I go to my wife for an anniversary. I have a newborn child. So like, you know, we want to get some time away, spend time together a little bit, but every few minutes, like, did baby wake up yet? Let's call home and find out the babysitter. So the baby's with me. It's not here, but she's with me. There's no private time. My wife and I, we're hanging out with my wife and I and babysitter and my baby, find out what's going on with my child at home. My lathe is not full. I can't focus if my child's not with me. That's the difference between a lathe, even though the roach will be less able to concentrate, but my lathe will be much fuller. Okay, so therefore, if that was the case, then Amy would not be able to give us a shot over. But we do see already clearly from both Aleinu, as well as the Shem Yishmuel's tribe of the lathe and the roach, that there's definitely a distinction between the two of them. But I want to focus now back to, I want to try to protect Amy's answer. I want to try to defend it. V'yadata hayom means if you know something so well, then no matter whether your heart was there originally, you're able to make your heart come along for the ride. If it's a real idea, if it's a real knowledge, if I know something completely with certainty, whether my heart is there or not, I'm going to have no choice but to follow it. Let's say right now, for example, it's something to believe in God. We may know. I know there's a God. But I still sin. Why do I still sin? Because I have in my lathe the Yetzer Hara that convinces me to make a mistake. It convinces me and it succeeds often. Now if I knew without question, if I knew 100% this is God, 100%, not even a doubt in my mind, I don't have a fraction of a doubt. God one time came to me, ripped off the ceiling and said to me, I exist, like I said to you in the past. I would never sin, ever. But my lathe is... Doesn't that have free choice still? The answer is, it may have had free choice, but if I know something so clearly, my lathe has no choice but to follow along for the ride. Which means, therefore, if I have a lathe of Evan, Hashem hardened Paro's heart, but he's able to get an idea, a knowledge, that's so clear, that's so obvious, that should even be able to overcome, if he says, a lathe of Evan. Let's see if we can back that up. Let's see. Let's take an example just to prove how diverse, or how distant were our hearts and our minds in Mitzrayim. I'll quote for you from Rav Gottlieb, said the other day, anyone who went to Rav Gottlieb's, Dov's father, the Shmuz, he quoted a Meshech Chachma that was frightening Meshech Chachma, if you guys remember what it was. Meshech Chachma states that Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu to tell Bnei Yisrael and Paro to let the above them go. So I understand what he's telling Paro. What's he telling Bnei Yisrael? So Meshech Chachma quotes that Bnei Yisrael often had slaves who were Bnei Yisrael. Said tribes of Reuben, Shimon, and Levi had Jewish slaves also in Mitzrayim. Can you imagine how disconnected you have to be between your heart and your mind to be able to watch your brethren suffering that way and also have them as your own slaves? It's a tremendous disconnect. between what we should know in our mind intellectually and feel in our heart. It doesn't make any sense. Again, something's off. There's a disconnect between our body, our mind, our heart. Something's off. And we even see that not only in that Meshech Chachma, but even in the actual story, at least the Medrash itself. We're going to read very soon, in this week's Parsha, in Choshech, we say at the very end, we left Chamushim. What does Chamushim mean? It means like art. What does Medrash say Chamushim means? Anyone know? One fifth of our people left. 80% of the Jews died during Machas Choshech. For what? Why? Says the Rashi there, is they didn't want to leave. They didn't want to leave. Can you imagine being in Mitzrayim? Having heard all the horror stories of your grandparents, you used to throw the babies into the Nile and kill them. Being yourself within the last year, suffering and tortured, but you don't want to leave? Something's off. We have a problem between our mind and our heart. There's a clear disconnect between what's going on in our lives. We see it certainly was the case both when you take Meshech Chachma's Chiddush of Pshat, or even Pashat Pshat in the Medrash, or if you call Pashat a Medrash, I call it even, but the Rashi quoted the Medrash of Chamushim, meaning a fifth, only if it got out, there was something wrong with our hearts and our minds going on in Mitzrayim. And I want to suggest to you the following Chiddush, and borrow from Abi if I could. The reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu hardened Paro's heart was to teach Klal Yisrael that even with a hardened heart, even when you're off, you're able to focus. Don't worry about it, guys. Not a big deal. It's just lights and heat. It's okay. We'll make it. Even with a hardened heart, if you have the desire and the confidence and faith to pull yourself out of it, you're even able to rise above a heart of stone and to get through it. He's telling Bnei Yisrael, "I watch Paro. Paro could, if he wanted to in the end, with a heart that I hardened, he's able to pull himself out of this and be able to see past his heart with the brain that he has and overcome everything." So says, perhaps, what Abi wanted to say, what I want to suggest to you, is if you believe in something enough with your heart, with your head, if you know it enough with your head, even with a heart that's not along with the ride, you can turn your heart to the same side as will. I'll give you an example. The Gemara actually Makos. I'll show you the proof over here that you can have a heart and a mind that are two different places. Not only in the tribe, but even today. The Gemara Makos brings down a following story. Actually, I thought about it a lot last time. We were digging. There's Gemara over here, Davida Alphan, the very bottom of Makos. We want to tell a story. They're digging for the foundation of the base of Mikdash. As they were digging, some Davida Aleph, in the process of one of the workers, probably the stone that we turned over yesterday, those big stones that we worked on yesterday, someone unearthed the actual stone that plugged up the waters of the Tahom. He unearthed it, and the water started to gush forth. And that would melt when I was watching the waters from the bottom, from the ground, come up and gush forth, and there's no end in sight. And he realized within a matter of time, Hashem promised there'd never be a flood from Shemayim again, but this could flood the world again and kill everyone in the world. So he says, what am I going to do? Gosh. Okay, I got an idea. I think if I write Shem Shemayim on a piece of paper, and I throw it into this hole I just created, maybe the waters will go back to their rightful place. After all, he says, we know that if you take Shem Hashem and you erase it, where do we do that ever? Sota. If I'm allowed to erase Shem Hashem to put into waters for saving one person's life, whereas the Gemara Makos says, to create Shalom bin Ish L'Isho, Kal V'Chomer to save a world. That was his svara. He says, oh, somebody here, back me up. Can I do it or not? Back me up, somebody. Someone who's in this group over here. He went to his counselors. Could someone back me up? And no one said anything. And he said, if someone here doesn't know, knows the answer, it's not telling me the answer right now, I curse you, you should die of strangulation. So Achitofel made that Kal V'Chomer that David Melchor said. He wasn't sure what to do. He wanted to do it. Achitofel said, you're allowed to do it. You're allowed to do it. And in the end, they did it, and the world was saved. So of course, though, Achitofel and die anyways, strangulation goes, David Melchor, the way he said it, he caused him to die of strangulation. Anyways, it doesn't really matter for that our point right now. But what does matter is the following question. What was the suffix? There are three things you die for. There's Gilei Raos, there's Shvichas Damim, there's Avodah Zarah. This was none of those three. Writing Shem Shemayim on a piece of paper, throwing it into the water and erasing is not Gilei Raos. It's not Avodah Zarah, it's not Shvichas, it's nothing. What was the suffix that you couldn't do it? What was the question? So the answer I want to suggest to you is as follows. In David's mind, he knew in his mind, of course, halakhically speaking, should be no problem at all. But he was afraid that his mind was playing tricks on him. Why? As I forget, we studied Rabbi Olshan, I think, gave this proof the other day, because his mind wanted to believe that to be the case. He wanted to be the answer to the question. And therefore, he was frightened that his mind was playing tricks on him. Certainly, this is not one of the big three according to everybody. But he wanted it to be the case. He wanted Allah to work out that way. And therefore, he couldn't trust himself. So he turned to the crowd and said, have someone help me out of here. Can someone tell me if I'm right with my logic? Now, Akitomo finally came through. The Gemara, again, Gemara told, I thought Gemara a little different than it really is in the Gemara, but that was the give and take of the Akitofel. But he needed to get backing that it was the case. Why? Because sometimes your mind is not 100% there. You're not sure it was 100% there. But if you could get it 100% there, then these questions would go away and your heart would follow suit. And he quotes over here, I want to quote to you guys a sefer called Sam Derech, which quotes the Ramban. The Ramban says that Moshe Rabbeinu stormed out after telling Paro what, you know, that Arba was coming. He left the room. Out of the room, says the Ramban, he left the room to give Paro a chance to talk about it with his advisors. What does that mean? So he has a big piece in the back, he has a maimer in the back, the Sam Derech, describing how your friends, or your spouse for that matter, has a tremendous opportunity to help sway you, to help you become clear in thought. He says Moshe Rabbeinu left because he knew there was only one chance that power could possibly override his heart of stone. And that was if he had people to talk it out with when he wasn't around. Because when he saw Moshe Rabbeinu, he saw, ugh, I hate Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm so angry Moshe Rabbeinu. So I'll go away, let him be rid of me, and talk with his advisor about it. That's what the Ramban understood. Samdech Asakasha. We know the matah said on it. The matah that Moshe Rabbeinu had with him said on it what? You don't remember? What did the matah, the staff of Moshe Rabbeinu have? What did it say on it? It had all the matahs written on it in short versions. Which means part of the matahs would be Arba, Choshech, and Bechoros. How is it possible that he had a matah in his hand that had those things on it, and yet Paro could still change his mind? How is it possible? It was already destined on the staff that he would have 10 makos. Says the Sam Derech, the following chiddush, that if you put yourself away from the situation of people who are bothering you and affecting you negatively, and you go with confidence, you can even overcome destiny. From Sheshes Mibresh, the staff was created, and it had in it the power of 10 makos. But a person would put his mind to it, if you put your mind to it clearly and solely, and you have a group of people around you that can help you get there in the end, there is nothing beyond you. You have a leg of an heaven. You have a heart of stone. It doesn't matter, he says. Even a heart of stone is able to, if thought through properly, to be overcome with a proper rosh, with the clarity of rosh. I'll tell you a quick story, actually. It happened when I went to North Shore a few years ago. Just to explain to you what this means, this idea. The power of understanding where you're holding, who you are. There was one time when I was driving in North Shore. I know he's been there before. I haven't been there before. It's off exit 33, I think, the LIE. Right? Is it LIE 33?
Either one.
Okay, so this is exactly the problem. Is that I'm not from New York. And it's not on a GPS proper. So if you put a plug in, it doesn't really come through the GPS properly. So it's like off a service road on the side. I got lost. I went back and forth the wrong way. How I tried to go back on, back off, three different times. So I called the secretary from North Shore. I said to her, you know, I'm late for an appointment. I can't figure out how to get there. Could you tell me, I'm the LIE, could you tell me, where do I go, what exit do I get off? And she asked me the best question I've ever been asked in any Israel visit I've had at this point in my life. She asked me, are you going east or west? I'm not aware of it. Because if I'm going the wrong way in the highway, then she tells me, everything is 100% the wrong direction to go in. The most important question she asked me is, where are you holding right now? Where are you holding? This is where you're holding? Okay, so for you, this is the right answer for where you're holding right now. The most difficult thing is when we're not aware of who we're holding. When our heart and our mind are in different places. Oh, this is what I think I am. This is what I think I should be doing. It's very nice that you think that. But you're wrong. That's not where you're holding. We have to be aware of both our mind and our heart to be in the same location, and then only then can you really solve the problem. I'll give you an example from the world of sports. You know, I always like to do this. Just a few days ago, the Wizards finally fired the head coach. Finally. Most of the time, the head coach is fired. What does everyone say? Okay, now, the new coach now is going to... Everything's going to be better now. There's a new coach, a man in charge. It's going to be better right now. Usually, it doesn't usually change that much, usually. Maybe for a game or two, but the team's bad. That's why they're losing. If injuries are, they're just a bad team. It's not going to help. So the Wizards, they're a very bad team. And yet, I'm also a fan. I'm also a fan. For the first time ever, I'm going to use the Wizards as an example of like what to do. If you look at the article, which I read, this victory they had today, they actually just won the first game with a new coach. They won. There's already, that's on a nace. Like a person with the Machos, I'm not sure what would be. Well, they beat Charlotte Park, so Charlotte's not so good at it, so I guess it's not so bad. But either way, every person said the same thing. They said, the firing coach wouldn't do this. You know, we have a lot of problems we have to work through. We need a new voice, but we have a lot more to overcome here. This is not the be-all, end-all to our problems. Both the coach said that, as well as the coach should, by the way. But even the players with the biggest problem with that coach, they all said the same thing. I don't know if it was the coach or the problem. There's a bunch of problems in that. At least they're able to understand they have a lot of problems going on. They're not this disconnect where, oh, now everything's going to be all, you know, all cheery and great in our team. The team's bad. They're a bad team. They have a lot of problems to work through. The most important thing for us is to realize that our head and our mind and our heart have to be in sync. I want to end with the following point of here. I was speaking to some boys before, and I want to stress this point very much, is that if your mind believes in God, if that's what your mind believes, whether your heart is there or not, which means whether you like it, whether you're interested in doing it all day long or not, I mean this year, doesn't matter. If your mind knows it to be true, then your job to figure out how do I make my heart come along for the ride. Forget the excuses. Forget the frustration of not understanding what's going on. That's an issue of your heart. Your mind already knows this is what I should be doing right now. Your job when your mind is so clear, and by the way, if it's not clear, then you should make sure to know where am I? What are my problems? Like the North Sector, where are you holding? What are you up to? Are you taking right or left? Are you on the east or the west bound? Your mind must be clear what it is. But once you know what it is, I don't care how you feel. I don't want to learn today. I'm too tired. But it doesn't matter. Your mind knows something so well. The power of the lave of Evan, Hashem will tell you that you could even change around a lave of Evan. You can, if your mind is right. So as disconnected as your heart may be right now to whatever it may be that we're talking about, learning, davening, etc., if your mind knows it's right, you got to do it. You got to work at it. Not only must you do it, but the Drash Moshe brings down this parsha that you must do it with tremendous love. He says, you know why you wear your tefillin on your left hand? It says Yadecha, but it's written not Yadecha, it's written Chaf Hei in the end. It says Gemara Menachos Yadcha, Yadkeha, your weaker hand. You know why it's on your weaker hand? Because you could very easily say, I only serve when I'm feeling it, when I'm strong. Then I serve. I serve God when I'm strong. But when I'm weak, you know, I gotta go somewhere, I gotta just relax. I'm not serving God in my weak areas. I'm not gonna serve God. What I don't wanna do, I'm not gonna do. It says, Moshe Feinstein, you got it wrong. You put your tefillin on your weak hand, which by the way is right next to your heart, he says. I suppose one is on your head. Because you're saying to God, Baruch Hu, even when I'm weak, I will still serve you. Even when I struggle, I will still serve you. And he brings the following story. He doesn't bring a story down, but the story he told Moshe Feinstein is perfect for this exactly point. There were two Baal Bat in Moshe's community that many years ago, when it wasn't so in to keep Shabbos, and if you kept Shabbos, your boss would fire you. There were two Jews who every week they had to find a new job. They were fired every single week from the job because they kept Shabbos. They wouldn't go to work on Shabbos. And Moshe was shocked to hear that one of those families, their kids went off the derech. The kids weren't firm later on. With the father doing so much mesiras nefesh, the kids weren't firm. How is that possible? So he went and inquired, and he found out the following thing would happen. This father would be at a Shabbos table, and as they would say Kiddush, he would start to cry. And he'd be like, oh, Nebuch, Shabbos, Nebuch. And he sacrificed for it. But his kids grew up, Nebuch, Shabbos. Shabbos was Nebuch for them. It was a sad day for the family. The other person grew up, and he was like, smiling and singing, rejoicing, Messiah, thanks for Shabbos, I'm so fortunate. I'm so fortunate to show Kaddish Baruch Hu how much I love Him. I trust in You so much that my heart, though it hurts me to be fired, my brain overpowers that. I'm besimcha right now in Shabbos. I'm besimcha. The other person also knew, but he couldn't get his heart to go along for the ride. His heart was broken every time. And his kids could only see his heart. They saw how broken he was. That ruined them. How do we go about having a tefillin on our hand, on our left hand, which is the weaker hand, and be able to overcome it with our mind, with our heart? How do we do it with our head? How do we do that? The answer is, if you make sure the tefillin shel rosh is so chazak,
The Torah Yah could be hidden, it could be covered up, but the Rosh never is covered up. If your brain, if your head is so clear, if you're so sure, if you know so well this is right, only that has the power to overcome the Tefillin Shel Yad, which is on a weaker hand of ours. At this point in our life, whether we're adults or still working on that stage, whether we're mature or a little less so, we should have a clear vision of, if not where I am, at least where I want to get to. That you can have a vision for. That you should have a vision for. There should be nothing that we do that ever goes in the wrong direction of that. You can take breaks. If I'm driving somewhere, I made this muscle some before. If I'm driving somewhere, I'm allowed to take a rest stop. I can stop off and I can go to sleep. But I can't turn around and drive the wrong way for a few. There's no reason for that. There's no reason. At this stage of the game, this stage of our lives, you should have a clear goal in life. Not only for this year, but in life. If you have a head that's strong, that goal should revolve a lot around God. That means when you have a job, religiosity should be part of your decision. When you move into a community, religious life should be part of, when you have children, religious life should be part of that equation. If that's the case, then our, as long as we know where we're holding right now, we should be able to make decisions with a clear head. Hashem was telling you through Paro, though I harden his heart, it is possible he can overcome with enough of the brain. It's possible. Which means when he doesn't do it well, he'll be held accountable for it in a court of law. In Shammai, he'll be held accountable for it. It required me to walk and give him 7 rooms, Moshe Rabbeinu said, and then he can figure out on his own, he can get there on his own. But we cannot sit here and look in the mirror and say, here's my goal for the year, and take steps in the wrong direction. Here's my goal for life, and make decisions that aren't consistent with that. Doesn't make any sense anymore. That means a number of basic things. Just for mushel, silly mushel. This is called tzitzis. If you believe that your purpose in life is to serve God, as among other things as well, then you explain how in the world could you not wear tzitzis every single day? I don't care if you're going on a tiyul. I don't care if you're walking to the basketball court. Why would you pass up eternity for 30 seconds even? Because you're not going to win during the game. For what reason? What's your logic? Your brain doesn't make any, doesn't fit with the brain, heart, and that doesn't fit. Explain to me why, I don't care what you did last night, you're not able to wake up in the morning to dive with Hashem and a minion. And to say, Amen, Hei, Shemei, Rabba, which means that it's Gozer, it's tears, it's Korea, Gzar, Dinim, it tears them apart. What could possibly be more important than that? How tired must you be to not get up for that? Explain to me. If that's on your map, explain to me how you go in a different direction than that. There's only 2 reasons why it would make sense. It's if you don't know where you're heading to, we have no idea where you are. Those are both good reasons for it. But if nothing else, this time in our lives is the time to figure out the answer to both those questions. We should be zocha to realize, whether we like it or not, whether our heart feels it or not, it's demanded by HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we do our best. And even Paro himself, whose heart was made into stone, was expected by Moshe Rabbeinu, says Ramban, to work it out with his advisors and to get there in the end, says Asam Derech. To actually figure it out, though the staff said otherwise. Even Paro had the ability to overcome with Zocha, to have our heart and our mind in the same area, and doing such should allow us to have a better GPS system of our lives. Have a good job.